final hour of the program here. Welcome on into the 9 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. If you didn't know who O'Neal Cruz was before, the shortstop turned center fielder for the Pirates, you know now. Dude just put on an absolute clinic in the home run derby and hit a ball 513 feet. I mean, my goodness, that was incredible. Keep you posted on how our guy does, Matty Olson, coming up here in just a bit. But right now, let's head up to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in Jason Longshore, fresh off of trip. Jason, you were in Toronto, correct? And then you did some Atlanta United, too. Busy weekend for you?
Yeah, two games, two nights, two different countries. You know, that's what we do.
Yeah, no, but NBD, as the kids like to say, Jason. And what was also NBD was Atlanta United's offense waiting until the literal last second to get going. Talk to us about this 1-1 draw.
Yeah, this is just such a weird situation because you go on the road for two games, and this team has struggled on the road all season long. But you're playing two teams that have also struggled in general all season long. And both games had a lot of similarities in it. I think Atlanta United was better in Toronto than they were in D.C. They got a little more going in the attack. They looked a little more, I think, coherent in the way that they were playing. And you would expect that change in the shape going into the D.C. game and then getting a full week of training with it. It looked better. They created more. They couldn't get enough going in the attacking third. They had a goal called back that was correctly ruled offside. They gave up a goal on a set piece, and then they got a penalty late and rescued a point. You know, it's you give credit for sticking with it. You give credit defensively because over two games, you've only given up one goal, and that was from a corner. But then the flip side is in two games, you've only scored one goal, and that was from a penalty. So you've got three games coming up in a row at home, and the attack has to get going while maintaining this pretty solid defensive group at the moment.
With seeing what Lotte Lath was able to do there, was there something different in his approach? Is he just better in extra time and penalty shots than he is during the course of a 90-minute contest? Or do you think he maybe is able to tap into something here and use that as a springboard?
I thought in general it was a pretty good night from him. The goal that he scored in the run of play that was ruled offside, the timing is off by about a step. He's offside by a step when the pass is made. But he gets himself into a good position, and he finished well. And that's one of those things that can give a striker a little bit more confidence. And you convert on a penalty, and that can give you confidence. And we saw that last night with Atlanta United, too. They have a striker in Patrick Weah who has been kind of going through the same thing except battling injury. So he's come back from injury. He hadn't been able to find the back of the net. Team earned a penalty, and it was a really smart move by the captain. And I don't know what the conversation was with the first team, but we watched it play out with the second team last night. The captain, Javier Armas, after Weah earned the penalty, it would normally be Armas who would take the penalty. He let Weah take it, and Weah converted. And then about 5-6 minutes later, he scored a great goal. Hopefully, what you want when you see strikers who have been struggling convert from the penalty spot, you want to see some of that anxiety they're dealing with melt away, and you want to see that confidence in the way that they play come out. It was so late in the game in Toronto that you didn't really get to see an effect for Lotte Lott. He spoke to the media today. He talked about how it gives him more confidence. He feels like things are heading in the right direction for him in this group. You have to see that on Wednesday. He has to be, I think, quicker with his movement off the ball, get into good positions faster, and also convert with his opportunities because he's had them and he hasn't converted from the run of play in a long time. Hopefully converting from the penalty spot late will give him that confidence to get going in the run of play.
Was Ronnie Dyla's messaging after the draw, was he praising that they were able to come back? Was he frustrated, as you said, that they still are pretty anemic offensively, or was it somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in the middle, probably a little more tilted to happy about the way the team is defending right now. And it is something you can build on. When you look at the way that he had to shift things in the middle of the games that have been played so far, where he needed to add an extra defender because the team was really struggling defensively, that takes away an attacker. It limits you in the attack. And now he has went back to a line of four with two center backs. Efrain Morales and Luis Abram have been very good together. Two guys who I think have found really good chemistry at center back for this group right now. And you're able to get one more player forward. So you're better defensively with fewer defenders at the moment, pure defenders. That should start to open things up in the attack. You've got to see that pay off. So I think Ronnie Dyla is doing what he has to right now. You know, the things that he is saying, I think people are trying to maybe read too much into some of it. You know how this is in pro sports and college sports. Sometimes the coach has to talk to his players in the media. You have to give messages, whether it's trying to defend them, trying to back them up, trying to motivate them. I think Ronnie is saying what they need to hear at the moment to try to get the best out of them. He's tried every different approach. And I think right now, while you've got a little bit of positivity in one aspect of the team, he's really leaning into that, the way that they're defending, leaning into things improving from the DC game to the Toronto game, and hoping that that pays off with good performances on Wednesday night.
Talking all things Atlanta United with Jason Longshore here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you give him a follow at Longshoe on Twitter. As you mentioned, midweek match coming up here. You're at home versus a very familiar foe in Chicago. What are the keys to trying to get three out of this one, Jason?
Yeah, this is a good attacking team in Chicago with Hugo Kuypers up top and Zinkernagel, one of the wingers, one of the more underrated players in the league right now. So you're going to have to be solid defensively. And I think it always gets interesting when you're in this situation on short rest, but the desperation is starting to really amp up. When you start to do the math and you start to look at what this team's got to do to get into a playoff spot, right now you're 10 points out. That's more than three games out of a spot. You have three in a row at home before you get to the League's Cup break, where that could be a really interesting tournament for Atlanta United. It could be the only chance to win a trophy this season, depending on how these next three games go. You've got to capitalize on these three, and it starts with Wednesday against a team in a coach in Greg Berhalter, who is very well respected, a coach who was the former U.S. men's national team coach, and a coach who I think has some similar ideas as to Ronnie Dyla in terms of controlling games with possession, in terms of the way he wants his players to interchange and move forward and occupy spaces. So the style of play isn't going to be anything that's foreign for Atlanta United to deal with, but you've got to see the quality in the attacking third that has just been lacking for the majority of the season. If you can't find goals, you're not going to be able to find 3 points in this one. It's just getting down to that point of it. I think I feel better about where things are defensively. It won't be easy against Chicago, but you've given yourself an opportunity to feel positive on that side. You've got to score goals. And that's the thing that we just haven't seen in quite a while.
For those who don't know, Lionel Messi found a fountain of youth and is playing like he's 21 years old again. He has five straight multi-goal games. What's going on there in Miami?
Yeah, I guess he heard of people trying to talk some trash after Miami got knocked out of the Club World Cup. And angry Messi is not somebody that you want to see. He's still got it. I mean, you know, can he do it on a regular basis in the ways that he did in the past? No, he's 38. But I think what we're seeing with Miami, and it was really funny how the narratives shifted. I've been generally impressed with Miami this season under Javier Mascherano, their first year manager, first club job for him. He's one of the legendary defensive midfielder center backs in the history of the game. And as a coach, there were a lot of questions about him. I like the way that he has organized this group. It makes more sense. You know, I think he's still got some players in certain spots that are lesser than maybe he'd like to have. So he's having to deal with that. And he has to manage all the games that Miami's going to play this year, especially with those Club World Cup games, four additional ones on top of what everybody else is doing. But they played good in the group stage in the Club World Cup. They raised their game. They lost to the best team in the world, who lost in the Club World Cup final yesterday. That team beat a lot of people, including Real Madrid, by the same scoreline. So Miami came back into league play, and they have stayed at that elevated level, and Messi has stayed at that elevated level. This is a really good team. I think it's a more complete Miami team than they had last year. I think it makes more sense. I think they defend in general better. They are maybe a little riskier at times with their pressure, and you've seen a few games get away from them. But I think overall, they've been a better team. And if Messi can continue this kind of form, everybody else in the league has to be terrified to see him coming.
Before I let you go, it was announced today that the U.S. men's national team is going to play a couple of friendlies versus Ecuador and Australia in October to start their ramp-up period for the World Cup. Do you like playing against those squads? Is that a good test?
Yeah, those are about as good of a test as you can get right now. It's an interesting spot when you're a host of a World Cup and you don't have to play qualifying matches. That's why the Gold Cup was so important this summer. And overall, a good experience. Frustrating that the final didn't go better, but overall, pretty decent experience with a team that wasn't quite your full strength. Now, you should have as close to full strength in these games in September and October, and there should be two more games announced in November down the line. That's going to help you. And these are two good tests, two really different kinds of tests. Ecuador is a team that some people might sleep on out of South America. I think you have some of the best young talent in the world coming out of Ecuador right now. And they play in that South American style, very high pressing, very high energy, very technical. And then you get Australia, who is a little more of a European styled team because so many of those players play in Europe, a little more direct, a little more physical. So I like that you get two very different games back to back, because you're going to see that in the group stage in the World Cup where you're playing teams from everywhere and you could get very different matchups game to game.
Jason, appreciate the time as always. When are you on this week?
I'm on tomorrow night. We'll get you ready for Atlanta and Chicago. We'll also look at a little bit at Atlanta and Cincinnati on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. And then Thursday, the intersection with myself and Noel White. We'll have all kinds of things to get into with All-Star Week and getting into the WNBA and MLS and Atlanta United and all of that. And then I'm filling in for Sam Crenshaw on Saturday before Atlanta United plays again. So busy week.
All right. Get ready for Greg Clarkson to tell you how he almost made it into the Superman movie, because I was hearing that last week. So I'm sure we'll have some fun with that. Jason, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate it, Chris.
All right, that is Jason Longshore there. Yeah, that was funny. I think I actually saw where he was like on the screen for like a fraction of a second, and they said he cut out his dialogue. So he was like in it, and then he wasn't. He had a line in the movie playing a newscaster, and I think I saw in the movie where he would have been in the movie, but they took him out. But I'm sure if don't believe me, just listen on Saturday mornings to Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, you want a blast from the past? How about Rafael Belliard and his thoughts on the All-Star Weekend? I chatted with him at Murph's on Saturday. You'll hear that conversation next. Chris Thomas Tonight, Turtle Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.